Welcome to the Sunshine Plate on Edible Radio. I'm your host, Amy Robb, and from the offices of Edible Northeast Florida Magazine, our show is a celebration of food and the people who make it in our region. Today's episode will feature Scotty Schwartz, executive chef and owner of 29 South in Fernandina Beach. Scotty has roots in Atlanta, where he was born and raised, and later went on to become the executive chef in many of Atlanta's best restaurants. Scotty, it's such a pleasure to have you with us here today. Welcome to the Sunshine Plate.
Thanks so much, Amy. Thanks for having me on.
So to get this thing started, I thought I'd try to offer our readers some context, and I'd like to start with a little background. Almost a decade ago, you opened an award-winning restaurant in Fernandina Beach. Why did you choose Northeast Florida as a location?
Well, actually, I was a chef in Atlanta at the time, and my mother had moved to Amelia Island to retire, and I was down visiting her. And I was walking downtown and saw this old house that had holes in the walls. I mean, it should have been condemned, but it was a historic property. So I took one look at it and said, I think I can do something with that. And, you know, I guess it was probably 6 months later, the construction team showed up, and we were turning it into what is now 29 South.
Wow. So did you have roots in Fernandina Beach before, or was this something that just sort of happened serendipitously that your mom was there?
I think it was serendipitous. You know, basically my mom was there. And like I said, the building kind of spoke to me. You know, if Norman Rockwell had a beach cottage somewhere, you know, in this country, in the South, it would be Fernandina Beach. It's a beautiful old, you know, Southern town. And, you know, I thought it was a great place for me to kind of branch out from my first venture on my own. And it's served me well since.
Speaking of Fernandina Beach, Florida being a great Southern town, I think there are a lot of misconceptions about Florida's first coast. In fact, when I tell people who don't live here that we probably share more in common with Southern Georgia than we do with Miami, that's a big surprise. What role do you think geography is playing in the development of our region's culinary identity?
Well, really, I mean, you're absolutely right. When people hear or think about Florida cuisine, the first thing that comes to mind is that Floridian, Latin, Caribbean, you know, Florida, basically, menage that they have down in South Florida in Miami. And I think what we call it here, what I've learned that we call it here, it's called the Sweet Tea Line. And the Sweet Tea Line runs basically across the state from south of Orlando and then north of Orlando. And at some point, as you cross over Orlando, the food takes on a totally different, you know, style than that of our Southern neighbors. And that is, you know, it's truly Southern cuisine. Now it has low country influence, because obviously we're not going to ignore the bounty that is the Atlantic Ocean and the Gulf and everything else that Florida has to offer. So, I think that really that when people say South Georgia, from my restaurant, I can look across the river and see Georgia. So, you know, it definitely plays a part on the influence. And I think that, you know, I think that that's really our kind of culinary identity here in North Florida. We're certainly more of a classic Southern style food culture.
And what are some of those classic Southern food ingredients that you see in dishes in our region in particular?
I mean, I think here, obviously, you have the water. So the first thing that's going to come to mind, and Fernandina Beach was the birthplace of the modern shrimping industry. So from Fernandina, probably all the way down to Daytona, you know, we have access to local shrimp. The Mayport shrimp that we get out of Mayport here in Jacksonville are unbelievable. I'll put them up against anything else in the world. You know, we have the best fish. Because, you know, a lot of the fish that we procure for the restaurant, it was swimming yesterday. So,
right.
The seafood and, you know, the ocean and even the rivers definitely play a part into what we have to offer. And then the other thing is, you know, Florida has one of the greatest growing seasons of any state, I think, in the country. In that, you know, outside of the dead of summer, where it's kind of the opposite of up north, where things shut down in the wintertime, and the summer times things shut down because of that intense heat that we have. So, you know, we have a huge bounty of produce to choose from, as well as, you know, now we're starting to see more and more ranchers and, you know, pig farmers and things like that kind of bringing back some of these heritage breeds that were down here in the state centuries ago.
Right. And what are you using in your kitchen these days that you think might not be found, say, in an Atlanta kitchen?
Well, I mean, obviously, the seafood is one thing. I mean, we'll always go back to the seafood, but, you know, we have the dattel pepper, which is, you know, indigenous to kind of the St. Augustine area. We can grow different varieties of tomatoes for longer here. But I think, you know, as far as Atlanta versus Northeast Florida, I mean, the biggest difference is, once again, you know, the seafood, because really the climates aren't that much different, only that we get the freshest stuff longer.
Yeah. You have a garden out back of your restaurant, a pretty robust garden, one of the biggest that I've seen in the area for a chef garden. When did that start and how long has it been going?
Well, that was started probably, I think it was 2007 or 2000. I think it was 2008. We had, my wife, Nan, and I had recently come back from a trip from California. And as I was coming across the bridge onto the island, I just fell into this depression because, you know, I said to Nan, you know, they're so lucky out in California. You know, they can go to a gas station and get nicer tomatoes, you know, at a gas station than we can get at our supermarkets around here. And, you know, the farmers and the chefs, they have these great, you know, they have this great symbiotic relationship. And Nan looked at me and she said, honey, there is no reason whatsoever why we can't do that here. I mean, we have as long a growing season as anywhere else. We're surrounded by farms. You know, you just have to get out and do it. And so that was the first start for reaching out to other farmers and kind of, you know, basically creating this farm program. You know, Nan would reach out to them and then we'd make the introduction. It was, you know, the true sense of shake the hand that feeds you. And we had a parking lot behind the restaurant. And I said, you know, I would love to be able to just walk out back and have my guys experience some of the things that the farmers, you know, deal with out at the farms. And so we tore out the dirt parking lot that we had. We ended up putting in 14 raised beds. And, you know, to this day, the guys in the kitchen, you know, work the beds, they work the produce, they harvest, they plant. We do have a garden manager that comes over on a ferry from Grayfield Inn over on Cumberland Island. But it's a great way to have the guys in the kitchen realize that produce doesn't just come in a box. You know, that produce doesn't just, you don't just call a purveyor, and because they can grow it in South America, we can have it tomorrow. When they're tending to it on a day-to-day basis and really working it from the time that the seed goes into the ground to the time that it goes onto the plate, they have a sense of pride about it. And that, you know, that makes me happy. Puts a smile on my face.
Absolutely. Mine too. Many folks in our region, myself included, regard you not only as a distinguished chef, but also as a thought leader in the food movement that's currently underway in Northeast Florida. And hearing you talk about, you know, starting your garden so long ago and also talk about your transition from Atlanta to Northeast Florida, it begs the question, what trends do you see happening right now in our region in food?
In food, I mean, I think that when people say, there's a lot of people out there that claim that they're farm to table, okay? And I think that there are a lot of people out there that don't, as my good friend Tom Gray, who owns Moxie Kitchen and Cocktails here, he says they don't back the quack. I mean, Tom Gray was really the, you know, one of the pioneers of reaching out to farmers and really embracing this, you know, these relationships. Being farm to table means that you actually have a relationship with the person that's growing for you, not that you go to a farmer's market and buy a basket full of vegetables. Now, that is a start, and that's how those relationships are sometimes born. But as far as, I think that Northeast Florida is behind a lot of the other big cities in embracing this, and slowly but surely more and more people are realizing that, you know, it's certainly the way that we should be cooking. It's the way that we should be procuring our, you know, our produce and our meats, and and other things. But, you know, at the same time, there's so many other things that are evolving, you know, while that's happening. You know, we are currently in a place where we're trying to elevate the culinary culture here in this city. And one of the hardest things is kind of identifying really what is that culinary culture, what is that culinary identity. And I don't think we're there yet. I think that, you know, we're certainly low country, but where Charleston has a certain kind of low country cuisine, ours is somewhat different because we are so heavily influenced by South Georgia and, you know, I think the barrier islands of South Georgia. And it's going to be very interesting to see where we end up, but I think that we're certainly moving in the right direction.
Yeah. And going back for a minute to the farms, this is a topic that's certainly disconcerting for me. One of the things that I was surprised to learn is how very few small farms there really are in our region. And of course, a lot of that is in part due to the fact that we export so much produce from Florida, but small farms and young farmers in the region are not easy to find, and they're certainly not as numerous as they are in other states with far shorter growing seasons. What do you make of that?
Well, I mean, I think that part of that is that the smaller farmer is, you know, I think it all goes back to the relationship that the small farms here in this region have with the restaurants here in this region. The restaurants really have to get behind and support those small farms and buy from those small farms. And you might pay a little bit more per pound for a green bean, but that green bean, what people don't understand is the shelf life on that green bean that was just taken off the vine has got to be a lot longer and a lot better and a lot more cost effective than a green bean that was picked in Guatemala and stuck on a boat for 3 weeks. I mean, those are kind of the economics behind it that I think that restaurateurs, you know, are having a hard time grasping, but they're slowly coming around to. But at the same time, you know, small farmers are nervous about creating that relationship, because what if they grow, you know, a bunch of eggplants or green beans or sun gold tomatoes, and they're growing for the chef, and the chef, they grow 50 pounds and the chef only needs 20. Then what happens to the rest of it? You know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Who bears the risk at that point?
Right. So what we've tried to do with some of our farmers that we've worked with now and in the past is we've said, okay, you grow the best sun gold tomatoes. So instead of growing all this other produce for us, why don't you concentrate on this thing right here, and this is what we will buy from you. And the guy down the street is the pepper farmer or the okra, you know, pepper, okra, and eggplant. We'll get this from them. So it's really about giving them a sense of security that all of their hard work is not going to go unrewarded. And really for us to know that, yes, we're going to have enough to supply, because when they were growing all of the vegetables, sometimes we needed the 50 pounds of sun golds, but they only had 20 because they only had enough space to grow that much going into other things. And I think most of our restaurants here in this region, you know, are starting to, you know, to realize that. And the other thing that we're doing is we're saying, look, you know, we will buy from small farms, from local farms, from, you know, sustainable farms whenever possible. There are going to be times where, you know what, they got rain, they got this crop just didn't come through. And at that point, we do have to go to our broadliners. But and when I say a broadliner, I'm not talking about some of the mega broadliners. We're talking about local guys that have the trucks that can go, you know, 100 miles, 200 miles south and pick up the stuff that's still grown in our region.
Sure. This is another interesting thing that I spend a lot of time thinking about, which is when we talk about Northeast Florida, we so often refer to it as our region instead of saying Jacksonville or Fernandina Beach or St. Augustine. Do you think that designation, that lack of emphasis, say, maybe on one major city, is sort of convoluting that process of identifying our culinary identity?
You know, I don't. I think that, I mean, obviously certain things will differ from town, you know, from town to town. But I think St. Augustine has a lot to offer the city of Jacksonville and its mark on this, you know, on the culinary dartboard, as well as Fernandina, as well as Palm Coast. I mean, there are certainly things that each person brings to the table, and I don't think it's a convolution. I think it's an evolution. I think that we're taking a little bit of theirs and a little bit of ours and a little bit of Jacksonville's, and we're kind of bringing it all together into this big, you know, soup pot, you know, to create what is going to be our masterpiece. And, you know, sometimes not having a distinct identity is a bad thing. And I think that's one of the things that has held back maybe Jacksonville and our region. But at the same time, it's something wonderful because we're in a place right now to where we can create it and we can make it what we want it to be. And it might take us another 5-10 years to figure that out. But when we do, it's going to be something pretty special.
Yeah, absolutely. I concur 100%. And on that note, what would you say to a chef or a restaurateur who might be interested in setting up shop in Northeast Florida? What do you think it is that they need to know coming into this market?
I think that probably the number one message that I could get out to, you know, all people coming to this area is, we're going to welcome you. You know, you can come here. You don't have to prove that you're bigger and stronger than everybody else. We want you to succeed. We have the most incredible culinary community here in Northeast Florida. And Kevin Spraga, you know, who was recently down here with his restaurant, you know, he left after the first couple times coming down here, went back to Philadelphia and told everybody, you're not going to believe what a great community it is down there. We want people to succeed, and we will do, as restaurateurs, as a city, we will do whatever it takes to help those people out in getting set up and making them the best that they can be. Because the more great restaurants that we have in this region, the more great restaurateurs that are going to want to move here, and it really creates that dining destination, which makes every big culinary city, you know, it puts them on the map of greatness.
Wonderful. Well, I certainly hope we get there. I think we're well on our way. I'm looking forward to seeing the evolution. And Scott, I want to thank you so much. Or Scott or Scotty? I've been meaning to ask you that.
Hey, listen, my friends call me Scotty, so call me Scotty.
Okay, great. Scotty, thank you so much for joining us today. So many insights shared. Really appreciate it. And I look forward to my next meal at 29 South in Fernandina Beach, Florida.
Thank you so much. We look forward to having you. We look forward to feeding you.
Thanks. You've been listening to The Sunshine Plate. Thanks for joining us on Edible Radio. Check us out at ediblefeast.com.